ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नुमेद्यते भ्रा वपुषे तदेद अम्ब्रयार्या गुंजावतंसा परिपीचलसन मुखाया वन्यास्रजे खबल वेत्र विशान वेनु लक्ष्माश्रिये मृदु भदे पशुपन गजाया. Lord Brahma said, "You are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the King of the Cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In the previous chapter, Brahma, the creator of the universe, tried to bewilder the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, by stealing his cowherd boyfriends and calves. But by a slight exhibition of Krishna's own mystic potency, Brahma himself was completely bewildered. And now, with great humility and devotion, he offers his humble obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. The word kavala in this verse refers to a morsel of rice mixed with yogurt that Krishna held in his left hand. According to Sanatan Goswami, the Lord held a cowherding stick and a buffalo horn pressed under his left arm, and his flute was placed under his belt. Beautiful young Krishna, decorated with multicolored forest minerals, exhibited opulences far greater than those of Vaikuntha. Although Brahma had seen innumerable four-armed forms of the Lord, he now surrendered unto the lotus feet of the two-armed form of Krishna, who appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brahma offered his prayers to that form. Translation: Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the King of the Cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand." This beautiful pastime is truly an exchange of divine love between the Supreme Lord, Sri Govinda, and his very intimate, pure devotee, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is not subjected to the bewilderments of the modes of material nature. He is transcendental. We have already read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adha Kavye Muyanti Yatsurya. It is described that the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke all truths, all knowledge, into the heart of Brahma at the very beginning of the creation. It is described that he had the divine revelation of the Lord's Supreme Divinity while he was sitting on top of that lotus flower that sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And also, of course, the most celebrated prayers of all prayers are those to be found in the Brahma Samhita, where Lord Brahma was given a vision of Goloka Vrindavan, and with a heart full of utter love, and with a mind filled with the deepest, most profound philosophical truths, he spoke these beautiful prayers, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So how is it that this Brahma Mohan Leela can take place? How is it that such an exalted, highly realized personality, whom all the great acharyas quote his prayers to substantiate the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is it that he could fall into such an illusion of apparently to commit an offense to the Lord? It is all by the mystic power of Yogamaya. This is all taking place by the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All of creation, both material and spiritual, are like puppets in the hands of Krishna. Every living entity is like a dancing doll in the hands of Krishna. Those who, by their foolishness and unfortunateness, they want to try to enjoy apart from the loving service of the Lord, Krishna takes these personalities and makes them dancing dolls in the hands of Maya Devi, or the material energy. And the three modes of material nature are like the strings. And Maya Devi is just, by just manipulating the three modes of material nature, she just makes all conditioned souls dance to her dance. Utterly manipulated, subjected, and controlled. And in the spiritual level of consciousness, for those who utterly surrender their lives in the loving service of the Lord, they are also like dancing dolls in the hands of Sri Krishna. But the strings are not the strings of the three modes of material nature, but they are the strings of the loving will of God. Whatever God wills, whatever is his desire, they immediately dance to that desire. They are in perfect harmony with the will of God. Whatever Krishna so desires, they dance accordingly. That is the reciprocation of pure love. But the reciprocation is so wonderful that factually in the material world there is no reciprocation of love. You will never find Maya dancing in the hands of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls simply dance to the pullings of the strings of the three modes of material nature. But when one surrenders to the will and dances according to the will of God, Krishna becomes so much obliged to that love that he dances to the will of his devotee. It's like we find in Vrindavan, the gopis, they would come to the house of Nanda and Yashoda, and they would begin to sing and clap their hands, and they would tell Krishna, dance. And he would begin to dance exactly the way they wanted him to dance, and he would clap his hands. In this way, everyone would laugh. And the demigods, they could not understand. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the controller of all controllers, who even the great devatas in the heavens are utterly afraid of. And here these cowherd girls of Braja, they are just They are just ordering Krishna to dance to their singing, and he dances. He becomes dancing dog, dancing doll in the hands of his devotees. So this is the reciprocation of the love of Braj Bhumi. And here we find Lord Brahma, who had divine realization of Braj Bhumi, but Krishna had many, many purposes to fulfill by bewildering Lord Brahma. We have explained in previous classes. He wanted to show that even the greatest personality in all the universe is like an insignificant creature in comparison to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That however great we are, if we become proud of our greatness, then we lose the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord has to deal with us accordingly. But you must know that Krishna knows past, present, and future. Krishna has a master plan. It is not like our master plan. We may have a master plan that may be for the next 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, huh? But not too many people has a master plan that can be perfectly followed throughout their life, but to speak of future lives, huh? But Krishna has a master plan that he's already worked out everything for the rest of eternity. And there's no flaw. And there's nothing that could happen to disturb that plan unless he so wants it to happen. But that disturbance is part of his plan. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chaujuna bhavashani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashtana. Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. And therefore, his plan is simply for the sake of enjoying divine lila with his associates. Simply to give love and to receive love. So, Lord Sri Krishna, he bewildered Lord Brahma. And here Lord Brahma is beginning to offer his prayers. And how much Krishna loves this Lord Brahma, you cannot understand. How he so much indebted to Lord Brahma for just being so surrendered and willing to humble himself in this position, just to show the world the truth about the glory of God and humble devotional service. So Lord Brahma is here offering prayers. And in his prayers he is describing that, just see my lamentable position. I'm such a big controller. I have so much wealth. I have so much power. I have so much intelligence. I have the highest birth. I mean, you may talk about high births. This caste, that caste. This is a high birth. But Lord Brahma, what type of high birth? He was above all castes. He was in the Narayan caste. He just came right from Krishna. He didn't even need a mother. Krishna was his mother. Krishna was his father. Krishna was all of his ancestors. He was just directly coming from Krishna. So he has highest birth, highest planet, highest wealth, highest prestige. You read about the demons, how the demons can conquer Indra, they can conquer Vayu, they can conquer Varuna, they can conquer Surya. But Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, even the greatest demons, they never even attempted to approach Lord Brahma. You never read. So what a position he has. Absolute security. He lives for so many trillions of years. But yet he's considering that this is all an unfortunate condition, because it is making him proud. And in his pride, he did not recognize that he is the menial servant of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, in this pastime, we find that Lord Brahma prays. This is revealed by many of the great acharyas. That he prays, my dear Lord, I just am so caught up with managing this universe. You know how sometimes devotees, especially you grihasthas who have businesses, you just get so caught up in just managing your business. It becomes such an intoxication that, to expand, to make it grow. Well, Lord Brahma, his business is managing, expanding, propagating the whole universe. Pretty big. So he was just thinking that I have all this wealth, all this power, all this responsibility, that my Lord, now I realize that I'm actually in Maya. I'm just caught up by all these things. Please grant me the benediction that I can take birth in a low family where I don't get any recognition, I don't get any respect, and I have no other responsibility than just being the most menial, humble servant of your devotees and constantly chanting your holy names. So the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna granted him this benediction. And he told him, in my next incarnation, when I appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you, Lord Brahma, will incarnate in the family of Malechas and Yavanas, in the family of sinful meat-eaters. You will be an untouchable outcast by birth, but you will be my foremost devotee. You will be given the great honor of just chanting the holy names of the Lord day and night and spreading the glories of the chanting of the holy name throughout the world. And you will be the personification of humility for the all world to follow. Because you are my most beloved devotee, I am giving you this benediction. So this same Lord Brahma was so happy to hear this. And he incarnated in this world in the divine form of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Yavana family. And because of this, although he was just from his very, very youngest ages, he was spontaneously attracted to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And he was so much just filled with love for all conditioned souls. In his position, he had no desire for anything other than pleasing the Lord by spreading the glories of the holy name to everyone and anyone. But you see, because he was an outcast, because he was a Muslim by birth, and because he was coming from a very, very poor family, when he tried to preach, it was very controversial. So controversial that people condemned him, people persecuted him, who were envious. But the innocent people, they accepted him as their life and soul, and they surrendered to him. It is described that at one time, there were so many difficulties he had to undergo. At one time, the Muslims, they came before the high political officials and told him that you are a Muslim, we are Muslims, do you see this Muslim? He's born of us, he's ruining our religion. He's preaching to everyone about this chanting of Harinam, and even the Muslims are taking to the chanting of Harinam. They are chanting the name of Hindu gods. He is spoiling the whole Islamic faith. He must be killed. And the so-called protectors of Sanatana Dharma, the Brahmins, they were even more upset than the Muslims. They were going to the high political officials and saying, this rascal, he's ruining the Hindu faith. These mantras are only meant to be chanted by Brahmins. And he's an untouchable. And he's not only chanting, but he's teaching other people to chant without discrimination of who they are, what their caste is. He's polluting the names of God by his contaminated mouth. And he's spreading the glories of the Lord indiscriminately. And he's so popular that just the masses are falling at his feet and accepting him and becoming pure devotees of God. And in this way, he's putting us out of business. We charge for our pujas and our rituals. And we're getting great distinction and respect for doing it. Nobody wants us anymore. Haridas Thakur is just bewildering and deluding and everybody. Therefore, as the king, you must protect all religions, therefore he must be killed. So the leaders, in all directions, they hated him for who he was and what he was doing. At one point, of course, we know, he was sentenced to death. And he was beat with canes through 22 marketplaces, severely, brutally. Try to understand the glory of this pastime. Here is Lord Brahma, the most powerful, the most transcendental person in the entire universe. Who, as I said, even Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, when they subdued the whole universe, they could not touch him. That same Lord Brahma, who is the father and the creator of everything that we see, assumed the position of such a humble devotee that in the service of the Lord, he was willing to allow himself to be beaten, to be blasphemed, to be his heart being shot with the spears of blasphemous words, to be beaten bloody with canes and whips, to be utterly degraded in every regard. This is the love of a devotee for his Lord. Lord Brahma was happier in this position, being beaten, whipped, and blasphemed. He was more blissful there than he is when he's living in Brahmaloka, with Saraswati and all the demigods gathering around, chanting God's names. And on another occasion, Ramchandra Khan, a very wealthy man, he was so envious of this Haridas Thakur. Who is this low outcast? He has so many followers, he has so much respectability, people will do anything he says. Everyone's chanting the holy names. He could not tolerate anyone being more popular than him. He was a big landowner. He could not tolerate anyone being respected more than himself. Therefore, he sent prostitutes to try to defame Haridas Thakur. So how can we imagine Lord Brahma, such a position, willingly taking such a role? But because he was willing to take such a role of utter humility, he became so dear to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Srinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That one must be more tolerant than the blade of, more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than tree. Tolerant means to be forgiving. Humility means to not expect anything, to simply give all respects to others, and to be more forgiving than a tree, to ready to offer every type of respect to every other living being according to their position and expect zero for oneself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, only in this way can you chant the holy names constantly. And who did he empower to show the world how to chant the holy names constantly. It was Haridas Thakur. He had this special, unique position of the Nam Acharya. Nam Acharya, one who by his example teaches the whole world how to properly chant the holy name. And what qualities did he exhibit? In a supreme form, Trinadapi Sunichina Tarorapi Sahishnina Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Brahma prayed that I'm too proud because of my position, Krishna. Let me just preach your glories in a humble position. So Krishna reciprocated and gave him the supreme, most humble position in all of history, where he had no other business, no other execution of any activity than chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and inducing the world to do the same. So Lord Brahmaji, in this form of Haridas Thakur, because of this great sacrifice, how dear and beloved he became to the Lord. And the most divine evidence of this love was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this very day of Ananta Chaturdasi. Today is one of the most holy and auspicious festivals in the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. It is the day of the disappearance of Srila Haridas Thakur. And what took place on this day is so near and so dear to the hearts of all the Vaishnavas that they subsist on the basis of remembering this wonderful pastime that took place. Because it is the pastime which reveals to the world the love of the Lord for his devotee who has surrendered everything in his loving service. This story takes place in Jagannath Puri. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that one day Govinda, the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went in great jubilation to deliver the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food to Haridas Thakur. When Govinda came to Haridas, he saw that Haridas was lying on his back and very slowly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Govinda said, please rise and take your Mahaprasad. And Haridas Thakur replied, today I shall observe fasting. I have not finished chanting my regular number of rounds. How then can I eat? But you have brought Mahaprasad, and how can I neglect it? Saying this, he offered prayers to the Mahaprasad, and he took a little portion and ate it. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada describes that Mahaprasad is non-different from Krishna. And a proper devotee never eats Mahaprasad. Such a devotee honors Mahaprasad. We should approach prasad with joy and with reverence. It is factually non-different than Krishna himself. It is Krishna's mercy. Therefore, Haridas Thakur, he had made a very strict vow that he would chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day before eating, before honoring prasad. But in his very, very old age, it was becoming extremely difficult for him to complete his vow. Therefore, he would not eat. He would not honor prasad, although Govinda had brought the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. But at the same time, he understood that how could I refuse from offering proper honor to Krishna when he appears in this most merciful form of Mahaprasad. So in this way, he offered his obeisances to the Prasad. He offered prayers to the Prasad, and out of respect and love, he took one small portion and he honored it. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridas Thakur's place, and he inquired from him, "Haridas, are you well?" And Haridas offered obeisances to the Lord and replied, "My body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "Can you ascertain what your disease is?" And Haridas replied, "My disease is that I cannot complete my rounds." Srila Prabhupada explains that every devotee should take a lesson by Haridas Thakur's words. That our Guru Maharaj has given us a prescribed vow by which we must take to chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada explains, because foreigners and even Indians who are very much immersed in so many practical dealings in this world, very difficult to chant all day. So minimum 16 rounds. And a devotee should know very clear that if one does not complete his 16 rounds of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that one is spiritually in a diseased condition. And Chanakya Pandit said, there are three things that must be dealt with immediately: fire, debt, and disease. The longer you allow a disease to continue without acting, the worse and worse and worse it becomes, and the more difficult it becomes to ever cure it. I know devotees who were even very, very close associates of my Guru Maharaj, and somehow or other, they got very much sidetracked by so many practical duties that they just neglected chanting 16 rounds every day. They were in a terrible diseased condition, but they allowed that disease to ferment in their heart. And later on, it's practically impossible for them to chant 16 rounds. They just can't do it. They've just lost the mercy of the Lord by this offense. So therefore, we should know that if we are not completing our rounds every day, we are spiritually in a diseased condition, and we should act to heal that disease immediately. In another place, Srila Prabhupada explains that Maya is very strong, and if one is not chanting his 16 rounds every day, one is sure to fall prey to the bewilderment of Maya. So Haridas Thakur is the Nam Acharya. He is teaching by his example. Of course, we cannot imitate him and chant 3 lakhs, which is about 180 rounds, before even taking a morsel of food or water. But at least, according to the instructions of the Acharya, we could follow in his footsteps. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that now you have become very old. You may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. Haridas, you are already liberated, and therefore you need not follow the regulative principles very strictly. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general, and you have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. Therefore, please reduce the number of fixed rounds that you chant of the Hare Krishna mantra. Here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that unless one is on the spontaneous platform of pure love of God, one must follow the rules, regulations of Krishna consciousness. The regulative principles are absolutely important, essential, for one who has not attained the state of spontaneous love. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Haridas that now you have attained the highest level of spontaneous love. There's no need for you to chant so much. But Haridas was an acharya. He was teaching by his example. He was teaching how all of us should be. Therefore, he was very strict. So Mahaprabhu told him, now you reduce the number of rounds. And Haridas replied, my dear Lord, kindly hear my plea. I was born in an inferior family, and my body is most abominable. I always engage in low work. Therefore, I am the lowest, most condemned of men. I am unseeable and untouchable, but you have accepted me as your servant. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. Haridas Thakur is exhibiting the qualities of a true devotee. A true devotee sees that whatever value there is in my life is only by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Such a devotee considers himself before God to be the lowest, the most insignificant. My dear Lord, you are fully independent. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You act by your own free will. You cause the whole world to dance and act as you like. By your mercy, you have made me dance in many ways. For example, I was offered the Shraddha Patra that should have been offered to the first-class Brahmins. I ate from it, even though I was born in a family of meat-eaters. He's referring to the time when Sri Advaita Acharya was performing the Shraddha Patra. Advaita was considered the foremost of all Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And the tradition is that the first remnants of Vishnu must be given to the most qualified of all Brahmins. And there was an assembly of all the great, great Brahmins there to attend the Shraddha Patra, the Shraddha ceremony of Sri Advaita. And to the great astonishment of everyone, he gave the remnants first to Haridas Thakur, who was not even a Brahmin. He was not even within the caste system. But Advaita Acharya considered that because he is a pure Vaishnav, he is the most auspicious, the most pure, and the most elevated of all personalities. And Haridas Thakur, he simply accepted it as the mercy of the Lord. I have one desire for a very long time, my Lord. I think that quite soon you will bring a close to your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. O most merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, kindly grant my desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make possible this perfection of all my desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, Krishna is so merciful that he must execute whatever you want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. It is not fitting for you to go away and leave me aside. Catching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, do not create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show me this mercy. My Lord, there are many respectable personalities, millions of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. They are all helpful in your pastimes. My Lord, if an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, where is the loss to this material world? My Lord, you are always affectionate to your devotees. I am just an imitation devotee, but nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got up and left to perform his noon duties. After embracing Haridas Thakur, he went to take his bath in the sea. And the next morning, after visiting the Jagannath Temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all his other devotees, came to see Haridas Thakur. When they came before Haridas Thakur, Haridas offered his obeisances to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he offered his obeisances to the lotus feet of all of the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya inquired, "My dear Haridas, what is the news?" Haridas Thakur replied, "My Lord, whatever mercy you can bestow upon me." Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began great congregational chanting in the courtyard. Vakreshwar Pandit was the chief dancer. Headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of the Lord surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In front of all the great devotees like Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. After hearing of the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and then he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus feet, on the lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya on his heart, and then took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. He began to chant the holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like the great mystic yogis, everyone remembered the passing away of Bhishma. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his own lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard, carrying the body of Haridas in great ecstatic love. Because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless, and in ecstatic love, they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced for some time, and then Swarup Damodar Goswami informed him of other rituals for the body of Thakur Haridas. They then took the body of Haridas Thakur and raised him onto a carrier that resembled an airship. And along with the congregational chanting of the holy name, they had a procession to take him to the sea. Lord Chaitanya danced in front of that procession, and Vrakreshwar Pandit, along with all the other devotees, chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea, and then he declared, "From this day on, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site." Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. And then they smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. After a hole was dug in the sand, the body of Haridas Thakur was placed in it. Remnants of Lord Jagannath, such as his silken ropes, sandalwood pulp, food and cloth, were placed on the body. All around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting, and Vrakreshwar Pandit danced in jubilation. With his own transcendental hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand, chanting, "Haribo, Haribo." They covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and then constructed a platform on the site. The platform was protected all around by fencing, that the most menial functions that are taking place in a funeral ceremony, the Lord is performing those functions with his own hands, just to show the world the love that he has for his devotees. And we also see that the supreme most ritual that makes every ceremony auspicious is the congregational chanting of the holy names. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told us that there are many, many rituals, many, many samskaras, and many ways to perform them. But he said, to perform them is nice. It is karmakanda, but it is auspicious. But he explained that in every ceremony, whatever the occasion is, the supreme most invocation of auspiciousness and the most transcendental and divine way of observing any occasion is to bring the Vaishnavas and to have the congregational chanting of the holy names. Just like in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada had the prana pratishtha of Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, and Shishi Gornithai. And he had Brahmins, very, very learned and efficient Brahmins, and they came and they performed 1 week, 24 hours a day practically, of various Agnihotras, Homas, chanting of various mantras, observances of just innumerable ritualistic practices as prescribed in the Vedas. And yet his devotees, who didn't know about any of these things, they were just in the back of the temple having the chanting of the holy names with murdunga and karatals. And Srila Prabhupada said, for the sake of impressing the people in general and making them think that this is an authorized form of the Lord, we hired these Brahmins and had the rituals. But he said, but the real installation was the devotees in the back having kirtan. So whether it be installation, whether it be a birth ceremony, whether it be a wedding ceremony, whether it be a death ceremony, whether it be giving the child the first grains, whatever the ritual may be, there's actually only one thing required. You don't have to know all of these very intricate rules and regulations. But if you just invite devotees to come and they are congregationally chanting the holy names, then you should know that it is supremely auspicious. That just by chanting Hare Krishna, everything is fulfilled. There's no need for anything else. But just to keep our minds busy, sometimes we do all these other things. And just to respect and live in harmony with certain social customs, we may accept. But actually there is only need for the holy name of Krishna and the association of the Vaishnavas. So after the Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water in great jubilation. Here it is, Haridas Thakur, who was the most beloved servant of the Lord, and although he was obviously steeped in the agony of separation, it is described here that he was dancing and playing and swimming in jubilation. This is a very profound concept in Vaishnava tradition, that when a beloved godbrother, godsister, or our Gurudev, or any exalted Vaishnava leaves us, for ourselves, there is great agony. The agony is that how will we live without the divine presence of such a great soul? But at the same time, there's immense jubilation for that person. In our feelings toward that person, we know that this person has gone back to enter in the eternal Leela of Krishna. Therefore, we should celebrate and be joyful for him. After circumambulating the tomb of Haridas Thakur, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to the Singhadwara gate of the Jagannath Temple. The whole city chanted in congregation, and the tumultuous sound vibrated all over the city. You see, Haridas Thakur, his life and soul was simply to induce people to chant the holy names. When we want to show our love for someone, we want to do something that we know will make that person happy. Just like even in our own life, if someone dear to us dies, we think, what can I do now that I know would really make this person happy? Huh? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that there's only one thing that makes Haridas Thakur happy, if everyone chants the holy name. So just in the honor of Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the entire city of Jagannath Puri to be chanting congregational. And the sound was so tumultuous that it vibrated all over the city and all over the universe. This is how the Lord loves to please the desires of his selfless associate devotees of the Lord. Approaching the Singhadwara gate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread his cloth and began to beg prasad from all the shopkeepers there. He said that I am begging prasad for a festival honoring the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Please give me alms. Here we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the honor and the name of his devotee. He's becoming a beggar. Hearing this, all the shopkeepers immediately came forward with big baskets of prasad, which they jubilantly delivered to Lord Chaitanya. However, Swarup Damodar goes stopped them, and the shopkeepers returned to their shops and sat down with their baskets. Swarup Damodar sent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to his residence and kept with him four Vaishnavas and four servant carriers. And then he said to the shopkeepers, just deliver 4 palmfuls of prasad from each and every item that you have. And in this way, varieties of prasad were collected and then packed up in different loads and carried on the heads of the four servants. Helping Swarup Damodar was Vadinath Patanayaka, Kashi Mishra. In fact, they had already invited the Lord, so they were sending large quantities of prasad themselves. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit in rows, and personally began to distribute the prasad, assisted by four other men. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not accustomed to taking prasad in small quantities. He therefore put on each plate what at least five men could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Please sit down and watch. With these men to help me, I shall distribute the prasad." Swarup Damodar, Jagadananda, Kashishwar, and Shankar distributed the prasad continuously. All the devotees, who sat down, would not take prasad as long as the Lord had not eaten. On that day, however, Kashi Mishra had extended an invitation to the Lord. Therefore, Kashi Mishra personally went there and delivered prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great attention and made him eat. With Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, who were his guru's godbrothers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this etiquette. The godbrothers of his guru he considered to be as good as his guru. And therefore he would always offer them more respect. And it is shown here that he would not sit on a higher platform than his godbrothers, his guru's godbrothers, nor would he eat before them. They sat down together, and when he began to eat, so did all the Vaishnavas. Everyone was filled up to the neck because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept telling the distributors, "Give them more, give them more." After all the devotees finished accepting prasad and had washed their hands and mouths, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decorated each devotee with a flower garland and sandalwood pulp. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered a benediction to all the devotees, which all the devotees heard with great satisfaction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this benediction. "Anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasad will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away, exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desires, as we have heard from the Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, "Say, all glories to Haridas Thakur, and chant the holy name of Hari." Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant, "Haridas Thakur ki! Haridas Thakur ki! Haridas Thakur ki!" Who revealed the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Krishnadas Kaviraj ends this chapter. "Thus I have spoken about the victorious passing away of Haridas Thakur. Anyone who hears this narration will certainly fix his mind firmly in devotional service to Krishna. From the incident of Haridas Thakur's passing away and the great care Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took in commemorating it, one can understand just how affectionate the Lord is toward his devotees. Although he is the topmost of all sannyasis, he fully satisfied the desire of Haridas Thakur. At the last stage of Haridas Thakur's life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his company and allowed him to touch him. Therefore, he took the body of Thakur Haridas on his lap and personally danced with it. Out of his causeless mercy, he personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and personally begged alms from the shopkeepers. Then he conducted a great festival to celebrate the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was not only the topmost devotee of the Lord, but also a great and learned scholar. It was his great fortune that he passed away before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are exactly like an ocean of nectar, one drop of which can please the mind and ear. Anyone who desires to cross over the ocean of nescience, please hear with great faith the life and characteristics of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padayara As Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following.